today, peace not of this world. Peace not of this world. Peace in troubling times. Peace in times of difficulty. And these definitely are troubling times, right? I mean, just the things we've rehearsed with the COVID, with the chaos that's been going on in the country, with the shutdowns, with the economy, with the uncertainty, with businesses forced to close, with an election knocking on our door, and hurricane of the week club, and people with health issues, and you know, a scary number. We always thought 666 was very scary. 2020 is pretty scary. It's not as bad as 666, okay? It's not. But it's still, you know. I think we've all come to realize that this earth is a troublesome place to live. It's very, very troubled place to live. And, you know, I thought, if I look back in history, maybe it wasn't always this way. But it's always been this way. It's been troubled from the get-go. You know, I'd like to blame Adam and Eve, but you know, we're all sinners. And we have all contributed our share to the trouble of America and to the trouble of the world. So the past is troubled, the present is troubled. Maybe if we look to the future, well, according to the Bible, the future doesn't look all that bright. I mean, the ultimate future, yes, for the believer. But, you know, you get to reading troubling passages like Matthew 24 and verse 21, where Jesus said, "Then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, no, nor ever shall be." Coming soon. So, the past was troublesome, the present is troublesome, the future is holding trouble. Through it all, I want us to remember this, through it all, Christ promises his disciples peace. Peace in the storms, peace of God in our hearts, peace in all this troubled turmoil, upheaval. Sometimes people are going to wonder, why aren't you falling apart? All of this going on, all of these terrible happenings, all the uncertainties, all the difficulties, the hurdles, well, it's not because we're medicated. You know, with many people, it looks like they have peace, but then when you talk to them, you realize the lights are on, nobody's home. They're so medicated, it's how they cope. It's their coping mechanism. So how are you coping, Christian? Is it because you're medicated? No, it's because we are saturated. Saturated with the Word of God. Psalms 119, verse 165. What a great verse. Says, "Great peace have they which love thy law." The law, you know, that's just a synonym for the Word of God. Amen. "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall cause them to stumble." Great peace have they which love thy law. If you love the Word of God, you are saturated with the Word of God. Amen. Now, you take a sponge and you saturate it in dishwater. What happens when you squeeze it? What comes out? Dishwater. If you saturate it in gutter water and you squeeze it, what comes out? Old nasty gutter water. I saturated one in motor oil. You know what happened when I squeezed it? Motor oil came out. Well, if we saturate our minds, our hearts, our spirits with the TV news, especially the propaganda Joseph Goebbels version of the news that we get today. Joseph Goebbels was the propagandist. He was the minister of propaganda for Adolf Hitler. Anyway, that's what we get today, that version of the news. You saturate your mind with that, and you get squeezed. Things go on in the world that squeeze you. Trouble, tribulation, affliction, you know, what happens? You get squeezed. What comes out? Garbage. Garbage comes out when you go through trial. But if you saturate it with the Word of God, amen, great peace have they which love thy law. If you are saturated with the Word of God because you meditate on it day and night, because it, you love it more than your daily food, because you are a believer and you are filled with the Word, what happens when you get squeezed? What comes out? My God shall supply all my need. The economy gets squeezed, you get squeezed, what's going to come out? My God will provide all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You get squeezed, remember, the Word should be coming out of your heart. Words of faith, words of encouragement. I'll never forget a famous musician sitting over here at the Treasure Chest Casino after a lifetime in the limelight, played Las Vegas perhaps longer than almost anybody. Was sitting over here, broken, broken man. A good friend of mine wanted me to go see him because I knew this man. He was a friend of my dad's. But I wouldn't go because he's in the casino bar. And as much as I wanted to see him, I wouldn't go. But my friend went to go see him. And he went to go talk to him there and ask him how he was doing. And he held up a glass of vodka. And he said, I couldn't make it without this. So you know how he made it through life? Medicated. Not everybody who's medicated is on prescription medication. Sometimes they self-medicate, you know, with the vodka, with the beer, with the wine, with the dope, whatever it is, they self-medicate, and that's how they think they get through life. What a sad, sad report I got. It actually broke my heart, because this man was a world-famous saxophone player, and he actually gave me a mouthpiece, a solid brass mouthpiece for my saxophone when I was playing just as a kid. But you don't get through life. This is not how you cope being medicated. It's how you are failing to cope. It's how you are failing to cope. Those who think they got to hit the two or three or four or five beers, the several martinis, whatever it is they need to just try and cope. This is you failing to cope. Because if you are being squeezed, if you think this is what you need to get along, if you're being squeezed, what you really need is to be saturated with the Word of God. Need to turn off the TV and plug in the Word of God and get back in there and start reading and believing what you read. Amen. John 14, verse 27. What a tremendous verse. This is Jesus' words to His disciples. John 14, 27. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I give my peace to you. I give it to you. That's a tremendous gift. You ever have somebody leave you something? A relative, a loved one, a grandparent? They passed and they left you something. They were leaving this world. It's something, it may not have seemed all that valuable to others, but to you it was special because it was left to you or left for you. My dad didn't leave a whole lot, but one of the things he left me was an old shotgun. Yeah. Through it all, that old shotgun still means something. I hadn't shot nobody with it. I've shot a few ducks with it, a rabbit or two through the years, a few squirrels, but it hasn't been shot in quite a while. But here's a great legacy. Jesus says, I'm going to leave you my peace. Now, how much peace you think the Lord had? You think He had a lot of peace? Well, you know, he must have a lot because he's actually called in the Bible the Prince of Peace. You know, when you read about the Prince of Peace, they're not talking about the Pope. Just so you know. The Prince of Peace is the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, this wonderful verse that says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." The Prince of Peace. Now, you know, a prince is the heir apparent. The prince is the heir. The prince owns it. It's his. So peace belongs to the Lord. He's the Prince of Peace. It belongs to him. So he has it to give.
Thank you, Lord.
It belongs to him. You can't give away stuff that's not yours.
That's right. Amen.
Or let's say you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't be giving away what doesn't belong to you.
Amen.
I had a laugh at, I guess it was a joke about a preacher who was preaching, and he was talking about how people didn't give, and he said, "This is what I want you to do. Everybody take your wallet out. Hold it up in the air." Everybody took their wallet out, held up in the air. He said, "Now give it to the person sitting next to you." Everybody passed their wallet to the next person. He said, "Now dig in that wallet and give like you always wanted to." Yeah, because you're giving away somebody else's money. Yeah, yeah. Well, you're not supposed to give what doesn't belong to you. But the Lord has peace, being the Prince of Peace. And actually, think about it. What could make the Lord nervous? There was an old South African preacher that came through church, Philadelphia Church, gosh, 40 years ago, I guess. He came through and he preached that God is not worried. I like the way that South African accent was. He's not worried. God's not worried. So why are you worried? He said, if God starts to worry, then you can worry. But until then, we should not worry.
Amen.
Drummond Tom.
Yep, that's right.
Drummond Tom. I wonder what ever became of him. Haven't heard from him since, but praise God.
You,
since the Prince of Peace owns peace, then it's his to give. And he tells his disciples, "My peace I give to you." If you read the gospel accounts, and I know you have, you've noticed that no matter what happened in Jesus' life or ministry, he wasn't afraid. He wasn't worried. He wasn't nervous. He wasn't anxious. He had perfect and complete peace, being in the center of the Father's will, doing the will of the Father, obeying the Father, serving the Father. You still have a Bible in front of you? I want you to look with me over to the book of Hebrews chapter 13. I want to read a passage over here, just a brief passage. You know, five times in the New Testament, our God is called the God of Peace. Five times. I'm going to read one of these passages here in Hebrews chapter 13. I want to read beginning in verse 20. Just a couple of verses. "Now the God of peace," Hebrews 13:20. "Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect." That is, complete you, equip you, perfectly fit you for what it is he's calling you to do. "Make you perfect in every good work, to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Amen. The God of peace. He has peace, perfect peace, complete peace. He is never anxious. He is never troubled. He's never worried. He's not worried about who's going to win the election. He's not worried about world events or the economy. He's not worried about what's he going to do. He never has to worry about that. And because he has perfect peace, it belongs to him, he can give to you and I peace.
Thank you, Jesus.
An undisturbed peace. Even when you subscribed to the Hurricane of the Month Club, you can still have peace. We don't have to be ripped apart with anxiety and fear. I mean, let the world's kids deal with all of their anxieties, because they don't have a Heavenly Father who looks after them. But you do. You have a God who's given you exceeding great and precious promises that are in the Bible, not just to fill up space, but for us to believe, for us to stand on, for us to trust. Again, John 14:27, he said, "Peace, my peace I give unto you." Of course, he also says this, "Peace I leave with you." Peace I leave with you. You see, when Jesus told his disciples this, he was getting ready to go. He was getting ready to leave. But he wasn't going to leave them without first imparting to them what they needed to survive in a troubled world. As long as he was with them, you know, they never had to worry about anything.
Amen.
Because the Lord provided. He was with them. What are they going to worry about? The Lord took care of everything.
Yes.
They were confident. They were happy. They didn't have to worry about a thing. Yes. You got to feed 5,000 people? What you want to do, Lord? They got a big giant storm? Lord, do something. The Lord was there. I mean, think about it.
Always.
So, he could fix anything.
Yes, he can.
He could take care of anything. I mean, if it was a broken heart or a broken leg or a broken mind or whatever it was, the Lord could take care of it. The Lord could do it all. If it was an angry mob, an angry man, whatever, the Lord could deal with it. But now, he said, he's leaving. But he said, "I'm going to leave my peace with you." That's a nice gift to have. I'm going to leave you my peace. So you can have peace. You can walk in peace. You can have peace of mind, peace in your heart. You don't have to be vexed in this troubled world. And look, this peace that the Lord gives, he says it's his own peace. My peace I give unto you. My own peace. That's what I'm giving to you. Not like the world's peace. You know, the world's peace is imperfect, incomplete, and insufficient. Because their peace changes with the circumstances that they're in. Every time the wind blows a different direction, they lose their peace. We don't have peace that's dependent on our circumstances. We don't have peace dependent on our circumstances. Like the world's peace, you know. It's dependent on their circumstances. But you know what the problem with the world's peace is? You know, dependent on circumstances, that when you need it the most, it's not there. It's kind of like a broken umbrella. You only need an umbrella with it when it rains. And if your umbrella is broken and you open it, yeah. I mean, what good is a broken umbrella? You know, when the rain comes, you need an umbrella. But if it's broken, what are you going to do? It's like when you have a generator that won't start. There's no electricity, you know. I've been there and done that, so I can speak from experience.
Amen.
But, you know, you have a peace when you think, well, it's raining outside, but I've got an umbrella in my car.
Amen.
Except you don't know it don't work. Yeah. So their peace doesn't last very long. Look, the world lives in a state of perpetual anxiety. That's the way most people live. We should not be living that way.
You're right, amen.
Not when we have this legacy of peace that the Lord promised. Amen. Jesus said in this same verse, John 14:27, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I think these are telling words also when he says, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be afraid. You can allow it, you know.
Yeah.
You can allow it or you can disallow it.
Amen.
How do you allow it? By thinking on all the negative.
That's right.
By thinking on all the terrible circumstances. You can let it trouble you. You can let it vex you. Or you can disallow it by saturating your mind in the Word of God, so that when you get squeezed in this world, the Word of God is what comes out.
Amen.
Y'all following me?
Yes.
Like some say, well, if the Lord gave me peace, I don't know where it's at. I must have misplaced it or something. Sat it down like you do your phone. You sit it down and you walk off, now you can't find it. So what do I do now? I can't find my peace. Well, Jesus does promise us peace, and if you don't have it, well, then I would call for each and every one of us to examine our hearts and ask ourselves, what is it that we're saturating our hearts and minds in? What is it that you're allowing in your mind, you know, your thoughts, your heart? It really is a sponge.
Yes.
And what are you thinking? What are you meditating on? What are you filling your mind with? Because when you're squeezed, that's what's going to come out.
You're right.
So we need to be thinking scripturally that the Lord is with us. The Lord is for us. He's never going to leave us or forsake us. That he's going to provide every need we have, no matter what. It's not dependent on the economy, but dependent upon his riches and glory in heaven. That we can have his peace even in the midst of storms. That he is a healer. He is a deliverer. He is a Holy Spirit baptizer. He promises to save our children. So, you know, we have to remind ourselves of these promises so that when you see your kids act like devils, then you're standing on the Word of God and you are not being moved by these circumstances.
Amen.
Or if you're going through something in your own body, your own physical body that's troubling and disturbing, you know, it's real easy to let your mind run away with you. Especially if you start Googling your symptoms. Let me Google this. Yeah, I'm having this pain right here. And let me Google what that is. Oh, according to this, I died 3 days ago. Yeah. Everything's fatal when you Google it. MedMD. Yeah. Yeah. It's just that everything is, well, you know. I do want to remind you of a couple of very important things. And these things, I think we need to keep to heart.
Yeah.
I want you to remember that this peace that Christ promised, he promised only to his disciples.
Right.
He promised this only to his disciples. John chapter 14, verse 27, my peace I leave with you. That's what he told them. I'm going to leave this with you. It's peace he promised to his disciples. He did not promise peace to the world.
Amen.
Not to the unbeliever, not to the heathen. In fact, several times in the Bible, several times there's a passage in Isaiah 48:32 that says, there is no peace to the wicked. There is no peace to the wicked, saith the Lord. There's no peace to the wicked. The wicked or the lost, the unsaved, the unregenerate, the reprobate. God specifically says to them, there is no peace.
That's right.
In fact, he repeats that again later in Isaiah. There's no peace to the wicked, none. So the only way to have peace is to know the Prince of Peace.
Amen.
It's to know the Prince of Peace, the one who can give peace. See, the world can't give you peace. I don't care. You know, I see the young people, and I even see people my age. They every time you see them, they got stuff sticking in their ears because they're saturating their brains with worldly music. That's basically all they do. They listen. You know, that doesn't generate the peace of God. It doesn't generate the peace of God. This is what you're saturating your mind with, so that what? You go through trouble, you think of a song. It's not encouraging your faith. I mean, if you're saturating your mind with some good godly Christian songs, then that's another story. You know, you're going through a battle, you can sing Onward Christian Soldiers. I guess nobody sings that anymore, but what a mighty God we serve, you know. But peace is promised to the disciple of Christ. It is not promised to the world. Peace is for the redeemed. Peace is for the redeemed. It's Christ's gift to the twice born. Those who have been born and those who have been born again. It's not a gift that he has promised to the once born. The once born die twice, the twice born die once. That's we'll die physically if the Lord tarries, but we'll only die once. We won't experience the second death, the eternal damnation. But peace is for the ransomed, it's for the redeemed. It's for those who have received the new birth, and that's where it begins, when your sins are forgiven and the barriers between you and God are removed. Ephesians 2:14 says, He is our peace. Speaking of Christ, He is our peace, who has made both one, that is Jew and Gentile, all who believe on Christ, and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Christ is our peace. The Prince of Peace, He is our peace. You can't have peace without knowing Christ. That's why the lost are so troubled, so vexed, so anxious. Their lives a muddled mess. Their minds always... Look, if you're a Christian and you're not experiencing the real settled peace of God, then I encourage you, go back to the Word of God. Refresh yourself in the Holy Scriptures. Meditate on the promises of God. Saturate your heart, your mind, your ears. Too many Christians live without real settled peace. We're still too moved by our circumstances. We still let ourselves get too upset over minor things. He is our peace. Now, once you have peace with God, the barrier between you and God is broken. You become a child of God. You receive the peace of God, the peace that only God can give. And this is the peace of knowing that you are saved, that you are a blood-washed child of God, and that if you were to die today, you would inherit eternity. That's the greatest peace you can have. The knowledge that you are truly born again. To know you are saved. To know that you are a child of God. Now, here's a very, very important question for us all. Do you know for sure that you are a child of God? Do you know? Is it settled in your heart and mind? You see, many people have the notion that just because you are alive, you're a child of God. Everybody's a child of God. Well, that's partially true. A child of God in one sense. We're all here by God's sovereign decrees that we should be here. But, you know, Jesus also made it very clear that some people were children of God and some people were children of the devil. John 8:44, you're of your father, the devil. Because you do his works, you lie like him. He's a murderer and he's a liar and the father of lies. So some people are children of God, some people are children of the devil. How do you know the difference? Who do you live like? You see, if you're of God, your father, then, you know, you inherit certain traits from your father. And if your father's the devil, well, you have his traits. And I don't think it takes a very close examination, really, to tell whose father you are of. And unless God has become your father by a new birth, you're automatically a child of the devil.
Amen.
So, the peace of God comes first and foremost when a person is born again, receives Christ as Savior. And then, can I tell you, there's another key verse here I'd like to mention. It's from Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 7. It says this: when a man's ways please the Lord, when a man's ways please the Lord, then he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. When a man's ways please the Lord. Proverbs 16 and verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord. So this is the first part of this verse. When a man's ways please the Lord. How much of a man's ways should please the Lord? When a man's ways, of course, he's talking in a generic sense. A man or a woman's ways pleases the Lord. Now, we're talking here about the way you live. Not only your behavior, but the thoughts of your mind, the intents of your heart, the words that come out of your mouth. Because all of those things are part of your ways. When a man's ways please the Lord, that's where we start. Lord, are my ways pleasing you? Are my actions pleasing you? Not only my actions, but my reactions to things. You know, I remind us of this often because our reactions are as revealing as our actions. Because the reactions, that's when you get squeezed, you know. When you're being provoked, irritated, aggravated, insulted, offended, your reaction, that's when you're being squeezed. That's when we know what's coming out. Your reaction to provocation, that's when the sponge gets squeezed. What's inside? It's going to come out. Exactly right. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So you squeezed, what comes out? What comes out? Well, our actions, our reactions. When a man's ways please the Lord, when we live our lives in such a way that we honor the Lord, that we please Him, then we will have peace. Peace with God. Because we have that peace of God. So we have peace with God. We know that if we die, we're going to go be with the Lord. So we have peace within, but we also have peace without, because He makes even our enemies to be at peace with us. Peace within, peace without. And you know, this doesn't contradict the other things the Bible says about in the world. You're going to have tribulation. But, you know, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. We're going to have trouble. We're going to have trial. We're going to have disagreements. We're going to have disputes. We're going to have aggravators in our lives and irritators. But when our ways please the Lord, it means we respond to these things in a Christian fashion. It's hard to be mad at somebody who won't get mad. They start hurling insults and so forth, and you just... I pray for you. God bless you. Yeah. It's hard to argue by yourself. So if a second party doesn't join the argument, you know, it's... Yeah. But it's real easy. It's real easy to act like the world when you get squeezed. But we do know that there are going to be things that will provoke us. Probably not y'all. I know there's things that provoke me, but... Sometimes those provocations come from people right within your own circle of associates, family, sometimes in church. Part of the pruning, part of the overcoming process. You prayed, I want to be an overcomer. You can't be overcome if you don't have something to overcome. First, you got to overcome the pastor. You got to overcome your spouse. You have to overcome, well, you got to overcome everything, really. And pray for me, I have to overcome Glenn. Wait. Glenn is a blessing. Yeah, most of the time. Well, you know, when a man's ways please the Lord, then he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. There's a key to peace. There really is a big key right here. The key is this. Remember this, Christian. You live to please the Lord. You live to please the Lord. You live to please one. You live to please one. You live to please the Lord. And when we live to please the Lord, does it please him when we act so snide and when we're crabby, when we're grouchy, when we're blaming someone, when we're critical all the time? No. You live to please the Lord. This should be a guiding principle in every life. You live to please the Lord. As much as I want to please others, I have to remember, number one, I live to please the Lord. So I want to live in such a way that the Lord takes, that the Lord would be pleased. And I know how often I can fall short. It's a good thing he forgives us. Huh? You know, the 70 times 7. He doesn't tell us to forgive 70 times 7 if he wasn't going to do it himself. But living like a Christian, that means if you live to please the Lord, you will keep your peace, even in provocation, and you will do everything in your power to be a peacemaker. Be a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers. Lord, we need peacemakers. We got enough troublemakers in this world. We need some peacemakers. So here I would also add, let's focus our lives on our primary relationship with the Lord. You know, when they came to the Lord, I'm going to read a passage. I'm going to turn over to Matthew. Nope. I'm going to go to Mark's gospel. Mark chapter 12. I want to read a passage over here. This just to remind us to focus on our primary relationship. Mark 12, verse 28. One of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, he asked him, so he's asking the Lord a question. He says, which is the first commandment of all? What's the greatest of the commandments? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. These are the two great commandments. Love God, all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love others. Love others as yourself. You know, if our relationship with God is right, if our ways please the Lord, then you know the other things will straighten themselves out. Because your heart will be right, your attitude will be right, your spirit will be right, you're willing to forgive, you're willing to go the second mile, you're willing to overlook offenses, you're willing to forgive, and you're willing to forgive. There are times we read in the Bible where some relationships are so broken that it looks like they could never be straightened out. I mean, Jacob and Esau. I mean, but you know, when you serve the Lord and you live to please the Lord, He makes even our enemies to be at peace with us so that things begin to straighten out. There was some very bad blood between Jacob and Esau.
Yes.
A lot of jealousies and favoritism, and Jacob was a little cunning, you know.
Right.
He stole the firstborn blessing or tricked his brother out of it. The Bible says in Genesis 27, the Bible says this. It says, and Esau hated Jacob because he stole the blessing. He hated him. And he made a personal vow. When my father is dead and gone, then I will kill my brother. I'm going to wait till my dad's dead. But once my dad's dead, I'm going to kill my brother. You know, Jacob himself had a change of life and a change of heart. He met the Lord, wrestled with the angel of the Lord, and he went from a deceiver and a usurper to someone that God changed his name and said, from now on, you are Israel, the Prince of God, a Prince of God. And so the two of them were ultimately reconciled. But you know, it's got to be a pretty hard thing when the last words that Jacob heard from his mother was that, flee for your life because your brother is going to kill you.
Yes.
He never saw his mother again, as far as we know. He had to run for his life. That's sad. That's the last words you hear. Your brother is going to kill you. But look what God did. They were reconciled. They were restored. When a man's ways please the Lord, God would make even their enemies to be at peace with him. The same thing happened with Joseph and his brothers, or something very similar. Look what God did. So here's my point. Focus on your primary relationship. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then, second, trust God completely. Isaiah 26:3 says, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace. Perfect peace. The word is peace, peace. The Hebrew is shalom, shalom. God will keep him in shalom, shalom. Perfect peace. Absolute peace. Whose mind is stayed on thee. You know, they're saturated with the word of God. Because he trusteth in thee. Our faith, our confidence is in the Lord and nowhere else.
Amen.
Add to that Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please God. So we know we're to have faith. Faith in the promises. Faith in the promiser.
Yeah.
Faith in the promiser. And don't listen to the voices even of, you know, like the brother who said, when I see you again, I'll kill you.
Amen.
God can make even our enemies to be at peace with us if we will focus on our primary relationship to the Lord and keep things right between us and God, and then put everything in the hands of the Lord. Then there's this great, great, great promise of Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. That we commit everything to the Lord in prayer, which says, be anxious for nothing. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Do not worry about anything. Do not worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And then this great promise, and the peace of God, that surpasses all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Peace beyond this world. Peace not of this world. The very peace of God will keep your minds through Christ our Lord. This is the peace that Christ promised. The peace that he said is yours. The peace that we're supposed to walk in each and every day of our life in this world.
Amen.
I want to give you one last verse. It's from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16, which says this. Now the Lord of peace himself. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord of peace himself give you peace always. Not part-time, partially, but may the Lord of peace himself. He is the God of peace, remember. He's the Prince of Peace. The Lord of peace himself, may he give you peace always and by all means through all things.
Thank you, Lord.
The Lord be with you all.
Amen. And also with you.
God bless you, my sister.
God bless you.
Praise God. I thought we ought to just encourage our hearts today.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll leave encouraged with peace through the trials and through the storms. And somebody make sure we get unsubscribed from this Hurricane of the Month Club. That's right. I'm refusing to resubscribe. Father, we do pray today, and we thank you for your faithfulness and your provision and your protection through the storms, whatever form the storms take. Lord, right now, many of your people are struggling, even here among us, struggling with so many things, so many questions, uncertainties. Lord, some are struggling with health issues and emotional matters. Some are struggling in their family and relationships. And Lord, some are struggling financially. You know us, Lord. You know our name. You know where we live. You know what's going on in our lives. And Lord, I pray that even in the midst of the storms, you spoke peace to the midst of the storm. In the midst of the storm, peace be still. Lord, speak peace to each of our hearts, I pray. And help us to refocus our eyes on you, on your goodness, your faithfulness, your promises, your care for us one and all. Lord, even as we sang today, Lord, you've always been faithful to us through it all. You've always been faithful. And Lord, remind us that you're there, you're here, and you'll always, always be faithful. So I pray a blessing upon your people, a blessing of your peace. Lord, help us to claim this legacy, this gift, this treasure, to claim it, and Lord, to walk in it. I pray it for each of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. We are going to have communion.